It's Andrew. Today on the podcast, the boys bring in a special guest to converse with us about the upcoming Children's Christmas program. This is an annual rhythm of our church that can seem a tad redundant, but we hope that this podcast gives you new eyes to behold the beauty of the Christmas program, specifically Christ, his heart for all people, especially the children in our CBC family. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
If you come up to me on Sunday and say that you've listened to this, I will give you a candy cane.
Okay, I'll clip it in. Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible Church. I'm your host and producer, Andrew, joined, as always, by Phil Auksher, the pastor here at CBC, and we welcome back our frequent guest star, our international partner, Luke. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Good. As Luke introduces himself, I'm an international partner.
Right, yeah.
At Crestview, so, yeah. We also today are privileged to have a special guest, somebody we're interviewing, and that is Mrs. Mandy Swisher, who's directing our Christmas program. And let me tell you, this is like a badge of honor, like an achievement that she's wanted to unlock her whole life to be on this podcast.
So. I doubt that.
She's like, I know this is not my thing, but Luke and Phil, I know you're not going to take no for an answer. So
so here I am.
Right. We had to grab her kicking and screaming.
Right, right. So yeah, we wanted to get together today and talk about the opportunity that we're having this coming weekend, which would be the Sunday the 18th on what we know as our Children's Christmas Program Week. And a lot of thought goes into that, a lot of energy, and Mandy's kind of a lot of the thought and energy that goes right into that. So we wanted to have her on to kind of talk about what we're, and we kind of gave a preview of this last Sunday. And then it also relates to the Jesus Project that we've been, the series that we did right before the Advent series. We talked about that Sunday. So what was your announcement again?
Yeah, just that for everybody that was in the room on Sunday, right, our members, our regular attenders, that it's a great opportunity to do what we do best, which is welcoming people well, right, to loving on people. There's going to be newcomers, there's going to be family members of our kids, of our students, who want to come and hear their performance. And some of them are unchurched. Even some of the kids' parents are unchurched. And so it's a great way for us to pour into them, show them the love of Christ. And so we need to have our wits about us. This is not just, hey, let me come in and enjoy the performance. But hey, who can I connect with this week? Who is that person I've never met before that I'm seeing here for the first time? How can I connect with them? How can I establish maybe a connection, a relationship that can continue forward? So that was the heart behind my announcement on Sunday. I don't know if that transpired, but
sure. Yeah. So, I mean, we talked a little bit, in our pre-podcast meeting,
right,
the planning period about
all the prep work.
We talked about all the history of Christmas programs. I was lofting out there that I think Christmas programs begin, as we all know, with the little drummer boy showing up to play at Jesus' birth with all the wise men, which obviously tips our hands that that did not really happen. So we don't want to get any hate mail. We don't want to get any hate mail from the
you're blowing my mind
from
here.
The interwebs. Like, we know this didn't really happen. That's a joke. But yeah, we've been doing this. How many years, Mandy, did you say?
I think this is maybe my 10th year. And when I started, when I started coming to Crestview about 15 years ago, we didn't have a children's Christmas program.
Were there any children?
We didn't have a ton of children right at that time. So, but I think about 5 years later, so I think this is maybe the 10th one. I was trying to count in the records that I don't keep very well. That we started out real small and just really simple, and right, we've kept it that way, but we've also, you know, had a lot more children join us over the years too. So this is a pretty big group we have this year.
So there's something that obviously drove you to want to have a children's Christmas program. What is kind of the heart behind this as it kind of is fleshing out?
Okay. So there's two things that, I think about. The first one is obviously children having an opportunity to tell Jesus' story. So as we think about the Jesus Project in knowing Jesus and making him known, this is an opportunity for them to be able to be a part of that, a part of what we're calling, you know, our church to think about more and to be willing to do. So they can come alongside us. It's not just an adult thing or a parent thing.
Right.
They can come alongside us. And this is a really great opportunity for them to be able to do that with some help.
Yeah.
You know,
so they need equipped
with some lines. right.
So you equip you them know? To be able to tell this
yeah.
message to others.
I mean, obviously we practice for a reason because we want, I always say that I don't expect them to be perfect, but I expect them to, you know, have intentionality about what they're doing and to do their best so that we can not be a distraction to the story, but to help help someone to maybe understand it better.
Right. All the hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus tonight. We have lots of hopes and fears as it comes to children's church programs, right? So there's hopes that this goes well and we're not distractions, but we all know that part of the reason we're there is because we have fears that something's really going to go crazy. And we've undoubtedly had those moments too. And that's part of the Jesus Project too, that God just uses like the basic things. Like it doesn't have, God doesn't use the, yes, he can use the super polished stuff, but we're just trying to be authentic. That, so I love that vision that, this isn't perfection that we're after. We're just trying to let them faithfully tell the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think on just like kind of a completely different note, I'm very passionate about kids being on stage.
Yeah.
I think it's a skill, a really important skill. And I think the best place for them to learn that is in church.
It's a safe spot.
Everybody loves them. Right, yeah. It's a safe place. You know, we talk about that. It's our family. It's the day that we meet with our family. So it's the perfect opportunity for them to be brave and to do something that for a lot of them is a little bit outside their comfort zone. But it's such a great skill and experience for them to be able to be up in front of people. That might encourage them maybe someday to do it later. So that's another kind of big,
really good. So
part for me.
They tell the gospel. That's the evangelized part. You equip them to tell that gospel. So there's the equipping part. Mm-hmm. And then what you're driving at there is kind of, I view it as the established part, that you're giving them a comfort to be authentic in front of their family, in front of their church family, which I think we see is consistently, for I don't know when people grow out of this, but as they get to be adults, we have people in our church who don't want to share what's really going on in their lives with one another. And so, I mean, I think anything we can do to just be more authentic like that, it's a great thing. And then Luke talked about the engage part, right? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be all kinds of family and friends that come and probably people you don't know. And so, this is another way to just encourage you to, you know, go up to those people, invite them to have a cup of coffee and grab a donut and, you know, all those things. So it should be great. But yeah.
And then what's your vision behind your sermon that day? So usually you call it a sermonette, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
It's like a lesson version of a fuller sermon. So what's your vision behind your sermon?
Obviously I'm trying to accomplish a lot of things. So as part of the sermon series as a whole, I want it to fit there. So what I'm trying to do with that is to give church people, you know, that they walk out edified, that they walk out encouraged, loving Christ more, worshiping him, drawn to him. But I'm really thinking very intentionally about how I can help the gospel maybe be really plain for those that are there. Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe 7 or 8 years ago, somebody came in and said, "That's the clearest gospel presentation I've heard in a long time." And I was like, "Oh, wow. Okay." So, really trying to be precise with my words. I'm really trying to be pithy where I'm not trying to do a 40-minute sermon, but trying to just real quickly get to the truth of the gospel and explain what Jesus has done so that accentuates that, you know, we're even about everything's kind of all hands on deck to make the gospel clear that particular day. Mm-hmm. So I don't.
And then how could the rest of the body kind of join in on that? What would that look like for them to join in on your work, your sermon work there, the work that you're trying to do in people's hearts?
Right. I don't quite know what you're asking.
But, well, I mean, they could.
Yeah.
As so you, they might see like, well, I'm already a believer, so I don't have to listen to this message.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right.
So.
Yeah. So I think it's a great opportunity to apply the gospel to their own hearts. Right. Again. Yeah. So yeah. The gospel is not just for people who don't need it. It's for us as well. Mm-hmm. It's what is going to most nourish our hearts, most feed our souls, mm-hmm. most draw us into Christ. But yeah, hopefully we're also establishing a pattern that where people can know this is a way that you can speak the gospel in attractive ways to your neighbor.
Right.
I mean, we just had a conversation about that this week, that there are some people in our community who believe the gospel like we do, but they think we ought to lead with, you know, you're an awful person,
right.
Which, I mean, at some point we have to get to the reality of our sin, but mm-hmm. we want to lead with, I mean, I don't believe the angel showed up to those shepherds and was like, okay, be downcast because you all are worthless people and you're peons and how dare you? No, right. The angel's saying, no, the good news for you right now in Bethlehem, go, you know, so that's what we're trying to capture that day, that we want to make that known. And so I think I would love the energy in that room to be that we're singing with all of our heart, that mm-hmm. we're enthusiastic, that we have joy in our faces because we really believe this.
Yeah.
You know, we're greeting one another and we're just being authentic family together. So I think that's part of on the worship end what I'm.
Yeah, what that's I'm, good.
But that's most good. Of the work is Mandy and the team pulling it off this week. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. What else is there that we need to talk about?
Something I think is so special about children singing primarily is sometimes this is the first roots of confession of their faith in Christ. So in the songs we pick on Sunday mornings and in this program, we see kids who may not totally understand the gospel, may not totally understand what it means to trust Jesus, at least proclaiming those orthodox truths. And I just think that's so special to the life of the church to see that. And so if nothing else, we are just recipients of them confessing this faith.
Yeah.
Which is like starting off like a mustard seed, maybe, and some of them it hasn't taken root quite yet. And so that's true of this program. That's true of Sunday morning songs. I think of some of the songs we sing, and the kids don't even know the words. I know one kid sings, "Oh, Frito of Heaven," for great things. Yeah. But just the, like I said, the roots of this Orthodox confession that Christ is Lord, and they're already starting to proclaim that. And that's just so special. And we get to be a part of witnessing that. And laughing at times when it's funny.
That's so true, because I still remember some of the days that I first understood the lyrics of like, "Oh, hark the herald angels sing," or mm-hmm. some of these other ones that I've probably sang for 20 years, and it's like, "Oh man, I'm saying that? That's so cool." I didn't know, but the song, I knew the song, mm-hmm. I could say it all by heart, but I didn't know it. But I'm so glad that I had that foundation that was built into me for all those years. And so, yeah, you're right that they might not understand it, but you're teaching those confessional truths that will one day click, right?
Mm-hmm. And right. And this week we're focusing in on the verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, that is the one we don't have in our hymnal. The one that, like, if you're from another faith tradition, you might have grown up singing, but O Come, Root of Jesse, free us from Satan's tyranny. And how does the rest of it go?
Is it Lutheran and in origin?
I don't know.
The rest of the song is, "From depths of hell thy people save, mm-hmm. and give them victory over the grave."
Yeah, so I mean, you can hear the great gospel.
So, yeah,
you know, freed from Satan's tyranny, you know, victory over the grave, yeah. depths of hell save them from. So you kind of know where directionally we're going for the sermon. You know, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Maybe we should end with what's one or two things that you could whet everybody's appetite to look for in the Christmas program. Obviously, we've talked about the one thing we want them to look for is the gospel, but just on a practical level, you know, what else?
Well, gosh.
Or what's an element or two that you're, I don't know, anticipating that's going to be really good, or something in to look for in what they're memorizing or something like that?
Okay. This year, our songs are all more non-traditional than traditional, but it's been fun to be able to work in some of a popular Christmas carol into one of the songs. So I kind of like mashed some things together so that we could put that in there. So there is some things. And then one of the songs I chose actually uses What a Beautiful Name, which is a praise and worship song that we've sang a lot here. Yeah. So that's also fun because it's fun to be able to hear the kids sing that because it's something that they already have learned from being in worship so much. So it was familiar to them, and it's just a great way to get them to be able to participate in a song like that. So that's fun. I'm also using some younger soloists than I've ever used before. So I have some first graders, and they are doing a really, really great job, and they've memorized everything. And so I think that's going to be a really fun part of it too, to that's see those kiddos up there being brave and doing their thing. So yeah, I'm excited. I think it'll be great.
Yeah, so that's going to be Sunday. 10:15 is when service starts, but we usually, are we starting with just a, oh, I guess the,
Christmas ensemble.
Are, that is, they're from our church, but they're serving in the community. They've been playing as doorbell ringers for the Salvation Army at Dillon's and Walmart. They've gone to Sunshine Meadows. They're playing at Luminaries and somewhere else. I forgot what all the schedule is, but they're playing for us on Sunday morning around 10. They'll be doing the prelude. So give a thank you to that group when you see them, for the time that they've put in to serve our community and to love us. And then we'll begin with, we have some students that are doing solos again, right? So
yeah, so we have students who take piano lessons, and so I like to give them the opportunity to be able to play in front of people again, that experience. Some of them don't necessarily get that experience. They're just playing it for fun at home, so it's nice for them. So we have a group that will be playing to start off our service on Sunday.
Right. So usually, like, if you're a regular attender of our church, you know that, okay, I can skip the first song and then the then the action really starts after the welcome. I can walk in then. So some of you don't get here till like 10:25, and I get that. But you don't want to do that this week because you'll miss.
Yeah.
The preschoolers are singing right after right some away, of those yeah. solos, and then the welcome probably won't come till like 10:35, 10:40. Yeah. And then we have the children's program, and then, you know, into usual regular rhythms, right? So yeah. All the latecomers need to give it the program this week.
Yes.
And we need to order extra donuts too. So that's all at play. Right. Anything else, guys, as we think about Sunday? And
I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be
awesome.
Likewise.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we came up against the edge of our time. Thanks for joining us and hearing about the heart behind the Children's Christmas Program. We hope to see you there Sunday, and we appreciate you joining us on the Flip Side podcast. We'll see you on the Flippity Flop.